Hello and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. I'm asked a lot how conscious uncoupling works, so I'd like to give you a brief overview today about that. Quite often at the beginning, when people come in for coaching or for therapy, when they're in the process of separation and divorce, they're in a very highly emotional state, quite often triggered to early attachment style stages, that sort of core old beliefs of I'm not good enough, I'm not wanted, I don't belong. Those powerful things that we've come to believe about ourselves when we were very young. So we can feel like we're two and in the nursery and nobody's interested in us, or we've been abandoned. So the first piece in conscious uncoupling is actually to help you stabilize your mood, calm your feelings, just be kind to yourself and understand yourself. It's cutting yourself some slack, but it's deeper than that. It's really going into what you feel and what you need and learning how to look after your own feelings and needs. So as you withdraw from a relationship, the expectation that the other person is going to look after your needs is obviously really diminished. That's the old agreement you had. And whether that worked or not, that's an end to that agreement. The next stage is a real reclamation of you. It's remembering who you are as an individual rather than part of a couple. And that is an extension of your self-care, really doing the things that you like to do and being with the people that you know, like, and trust and feel a good commitment from. Then you can feel calmer and clearer. The important thing about when we're triggered is the centers of our brain are different. We actually have more blood supply at the panic bit of our brain and less at the thinking bit of our brain. So we're more likely to be reacting from fight and flight, freeze, or fawning even. And that's really important if you're making big decisions about your life, that you're not doing it from that reactive place, but a much more thought through, responsive place. So the next piece would be to create an intention. This is for what you would ideally like to come out of the situation. So that could be that you separate out well, you work out ways of managing the finances between you so that you can both have a life, that you manage childcare between you so that you can both be good parents together. You can be one family in two homes rather than a pulled apart family and nobody feels like they've got a home. Those things are so important. So we get a really clear idea of what you want. And then that is, it's like your destination that you put into Google Maps. So then every decision you make, you measure it against whether you're going towards that goal or veering off. And it will really, really help you stay clear about what you want. It's good as well, because we're bound to get triggered along the way, to have a self-soothing saying that you just say to yourself, you know, it's like, it's all going to be all right, darling, I've got you. You've got all the support that you need. Just keep walking towards the horizon, is what one of my good friends said to me. It was so helpful. and really deepen into any other methods of self-care. So you might be a yoga person, you might be a swimming person, you might be an art world person, or music person, theater person, a meditation person. Whatever you like, do more of that feeds your soul, that calms you, that gives you pleasure, that lifts your spirits, because that's the place you want to be making decisions from, not being depressed and shut in at night with Netflix. Step two in the program is looking at what's happened and how. Most of us, when we part from our exes, will have a victimized story. Excuse me. We'll have a victimized story. He did this, she did that. She didn't care about me anymore. He was more bothered about football than he was about talking to me. He didn't do his role as a father. She was never home. Whatever your story is about the other, we acknowledge that. And there will probably have been bad behavior on their part, but also probably less than appropriate behavior on your own because of how you saw things. Our most intimate relationships bring up the most raw of feelings. And in parting, it's worse. But even when we're in a marriage or relationship, we get triggered to earlier stages of development. So quite often you can find yourself giving away your power, as if the other person is a parent telling you what to do or saying how things will be. Or you will dominate in that way, telling the other person what they should do and how they should be. It can be that you've grown apart through not making enough time for the relationship, become co-workers in a family, or just co-workers in a household. You may just have drifted apart. One of you may have had an affair. There's lots of painful stuff to deal with, but we look at how you were thinking, feeling, and behaving that might have contributed to that, even if it's only your 3%. Because that's where your learning is, so you can grow and be more powerful for yourself, taking care of yourself and any children and your money and all of that. It's really important. And it gives you the opportunity to learn for future relationships, so you don't go and choose the same type of person all over again, or the opposite, which is quite often what we do before we learn. We go one way and the other. And that's my goal for you, that you can learn from this and grow from this, become more of the person you're meant to be, more fully you, more expressed, more confident, more able to choose from a clear perspective rather than a needy or desperate one, feeling like you're left on the shelf or nobody's going to want you, so you better accept the first one that chooses you, that sort of thing. So we trace back where your motivation for giving your power away or dimming your light, being less than you could, or being antagonistic in the relationship, is it really about that? Or is there also roots, a root into the past? And in step three, that's where we go. We find those roots, where the blueprints were drawn up in our relational life early on. Catherine calls it a source fractured story. So when we were first let down, neglected, abused even, and what sense we made of it, and what decisions we made on a fundamentally unconscious level about how we would be in relationships, how we would protect ourselves. And sometimes that can just be through excessive self-criticism. Ironically, that's protective, but it is, because you get there first. You don't take it in from anybody else. And it might be that because you've been so let down, you've become outrageously independent, and that is a protection against vulnerability and any further hurt. So these things may have happened in your childhood. You may not even be conscious of them. Quite often when I'm doing this work, things become uncovered that are completely unexpected and enlightening. Because when we shine lights into those dark corners, so much is revealed that we can then start to live separate from. Rather than it having an underlying control, we can choose, ah, all right, I see, I'm responding from my 4-year-old self today. How can I calm myself? What is the truth about me really? And quite often, you know, let's think of what I would say. I remember being in a school classroom and being asked to do mental arithmetic. And I couldn't do it because I was so anxious. I couldn't do it. It was in front of the class. I couldn't do it. And I was shamed by the teacher who said, "How can such a bright girl be so stupid?" So I've got a thing. It's an ironic thing. I'm sitting here talking to you about being seen and being heard. This is a big innovation for me to be able to do this. But for years, I've played small, safe, and hidden, so never to risk that sort of approbation or shaming again. So I've always given way, acquiesced, gone along with. What would another thing be? Well, just not being visible to myself, just being fearful of ever standing up and speaking up for myself. That's changed as a result of doing this work, but you can see how that would colour a relationship. There wouldn't have been room for me in it. I would just have been a going along, like the pet in the relationship. Really not powerful at all. So finding the deeper truth about myself in that is actually, I'm a very confident person. I've got lots to say. I'm clever. You know, I've got, I don't know how many degrees. You know, I'm clever. I've got qualifications. I'm academically proven. I can do my accounts, so I'm not thick when it comes to sums. I've lived this long and managed my money. So all of those things are truths I can tell myself. I wasn't here to be alone. I'm here to love and be loved and to have the richest of relationships. And the other people that I let close to me are really kind to me, would never shame me, are supportive and loving and encouraging. And life itself gives me opportunities all the time. I feel the universe is at my back, supporting me, encouraging me forwards. So those would be examples of power statements that can really make you know what's true about you, rather than the old truths from when you were young. And getting in touch with the new you, you'll learn new ways of relating and you'll learn new skills in relationship and with the world that go along with that. It's very powerful. You become more you. I have become more me. I speak up, I speak out, I'm doing this. I've had podcasts of over 50 now, podcasts where I'm visible and audible. I do Facebook Lives. I speak publicly. That would never have happened before I did this work. So, in step four, we go to generating a positive future. This is creating a relationship based on that new intention and new agreements between you. There may be practical, simple things like actually, you don't walk into each other's houses without knocking. You don't eat food out of each other's fridges without asking. Just those little things that create a distance and separation and a layer of respect that's different from when you're married and everything's combined. When you're together or living together, everything's combined. And there may be broader issues where you agree about children and money and housing. Those can come at this point. You may need the help of a mediator to deal with that, but you will be speaking up from a much more powerful place about your feelings and needs and what's important to you in the relationship going forwards for your family, for your money. It's beautiful work to see when you actually rise up and can speak up for yourself clearly. And it's good if you can't have a conversation of clearing the air. of acknowledging how you contributed to the destruction of the relationship. Because quite often at the end of a relationship, it's all you, not I. And you have to be careful, because if you're with somebody narcissistic, they will seize upon this and work on destroying your power. So with them, the boundaries are different. But on the whole, if you're with somebody wholesome from whom you've drifted apart, this is the way to go. You clear the air, and there's a mechanism for doing that. And if it's not safe to be with them, to do that, to have that conversation, we can do an as if experience in our coaching, so that you can get to say all that you want to say and be heard. And we visualize a positive, clear response. So this cleanses all of the mess out of you. You get to say all the things, you get some closure, even if the other person isn't there. And if they are wholesome and there's a good future together, you learn through this path new ways to communicate, new relationship skills that allow you to cooperate around children and family, or to part and separate out easily, freely, working out who else is affected by your breakup, taking care of them in the most kind way that you can. Apologies for this. Because it may be that friends and further family are affected, and you just want to be very clear about them, that you're not going to badmouth your ex-partner. You might not want to be in the same room with you all, you know, but it might be that you want further down the line to be able to be in the same room to do weddings or funerals or whatever, and you don't need an overlay of unresolved stuff there. So learning to communicate and plan ahead is part of the program at that point. Really, as well, in the last stage, going into any old agreements that you had. You know, this is things like your wedding vows, or I'll only ever love you. You know, that we talk to each other every day, or I don't know, we don't speak about our relationship outside. You know, those are old agreements that might not serve you going forwards. I don't mean you go and talk about your relationship and badmouth them, but, you know, tell people in a very clear way that you have drifted apart, that you have decided you don't want to be together, and you decided together, and this is how you're going forwards. And you can separate out well. And if you allow that to be in the relationship with all of your friends and family, then the systems will calm down too. You work out the new agreements you're going to have with them. And that can be, I always have the children on a Sunday. You always have them on a Wednesday evening. Whatever it is. And you'll develop new skills and ways of being that really live into those new agreements and that intention that you set right at the beginning. So that is conscious uncoupling in a nutshell. If you would like to work with me, you'll see that there's a link for a free half-hour exploration call. You're welcome to do that. Or you can email me on heather@heathergarbutt.com or phone me on 07808 776 150. That's a UK number, so if you're calling from outside the UK, it's +44 instead of the first zero. My heart is with you if you are going through separation or divorce, because it's a radical thing to go through. I'm holding you in my heart with love. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us, and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.